Hello everyone and Namaskar. Today's discourse is the second discourse in the compilation titled, Who is the Real Guru? The second discourse is titled, The Criteria of a Real Guru. Perhaps you know that the word Guru is a very old Vedic word. It means one who dispels darkness. Now this expression, one who dispels darkness, is often used without deeper understanding. This darkness actually belongs not only to the psychic stratum, or the spiritual stratum, but to all strata of human existence. That is, darkness prevails in all the three strata, in the crude physical sphere, in the psychic sphere, and in the spiritual sphere. So a guru will necessarily have to be able to remove darkness from all three strata. If he teaches the alphabet or some academic matter to students, he will be called a teacher. Teacher in the academic sense, that will not do. If again he removes darkness from the psychic world, he imparts intellectual knowledge to his followers. That would not be enough either. And if finally he dispels darkness only from the spiritual stratum of his disciples, that will not do either. The fact is that a guru, if one is to be accepted as a real guru, shall have to remove darkness from all the strata of the physical world, all the strata of the psychic world, and all the strata of the spiritual world. Now let us look at the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, he alone can be a guru who can lift downtrodden humanity to a high spiritual level, who can illumine humanity with spiritual effulgence. That is, only a Mahakaola has the requisite qualification to be a guru. Others cannot be gurus. In order to be an ideal guru in the spiritual sphere, one must be thoroughly conversant with the minutest details of sadhana, every aspect of sadhana, important or unimportant. The guru must not only learn those things, but must also possess the capacity to teach those practices to others. Otherwise, he should not be treated as a guru. The Mahakaola alone has this capacity, no one else. Kaolas are those who, by dint of sadhana, have successfully elevated their microcosmic stance and established it in the macrocosmic one. But a Mahakaola is one who is a Kaola, certainly, but at the same time possesses the capacity to help others as well to get to that exalted Kaola position. In the past, Lord Shiva was such Mahakaola. Lord Krishna was another. To be a guru, one must be a Mahakaola. One must possess knowledge regarding sadhana, not only thorough knowledge of the shastras, scriptures. And in order to gain thorough scriptural knowledge, one must know as many important languages as are necessary for the purpose. That is to say, it is not enough that a guru acquire the necessary qualifications to be able to teach sadhana, that is, impart lessons on the practical code. He must possess adequate knowledge of theory also. That is, in order to know the inner secret of sadhana, he must possess thorough and authentic scriptural knowledge. Then only should he be accepted as a perfect guru in the spiritual sphere. One who has a fairly good knowledge of sadhana and can also help others in that realm, but is completely devoid of intellect or knowledge of languages and scriptures, cannot be a perfectly competent guru in the spiritual sphere. For being a guru, he will have to explain the theoretical side also. If, suppose I say to someone, do this, I should also explain why he or she should do that. And at the same time, I should be able to support it in the light of the shastras. You may raise the question, what is a shastra? You might point to a voluminous book and call it a shastra, but that would be misleading. Shastra in the true sense means shasanat, Tarayat, Yastu Sa, Shastra, Parakirtita. That is, Shastra is that which disciplines and liberates humans. So a guru must be well versed in Shastra, otherwise he cannot show the right path to humankind. The term guru would be a misleading misnomer, which is never desirable. Shastra does not necessarily mean the Vedas. It means the way to emancipation through inculcation of rigorous discipline. It is something that prevents one from taking license in the name of liberty. It means clear instructions that guide everyone along the path that lead to attainment of prosperity and welfare. Shasanat. What is shasana? Does it mean torture? No. Does it mean punishment? No. Does it mean atonement? No, not at all. Here shastra means anushasana. What is anushasana? Hitarte shasanam anushasanam. That is, anushasana means that degree of rectificatory punishment which will be conducive to one's well-being. A spiritual guru must be well acquainted with all the processes of sadhana, must have the capacity to convince others, must possess complete knowledge of the scriptures, must know many languages, and must have comprehensive knowledge and intellect, plus some extra qualifications. What are those qualifications? Nigraha mugrahe shakto guru ritya vidyadhyayet. The guru must possess the capacity both to punish and to love or bless his disciples. Punishment alone without love is not good. Love and punishment should go together. And the degree of punishment should never exceed the degree of love. Then only can one be called a real spiritual guru. I have already said that a guru must be in authority on all subjects in all the three strata. As a spiritual guru, he must be thoroughly versed in spiritual science, both the theory and the practice. He must know how Paramapurusha associates himself with jivas, unit beings, and he must know how jivas associate themselves with Paramapurusha. They associate themselves just as the Ganges merges into the Bay of Bengal. Otherwise, how can he teach this science to others? And who knows this science? Only Paramapurusha knows it, because he himself has created everything. He has created our sense organs, and he has created the tanmatras that our sense organs detect. He can create anything he likes, but remember, he does not do anything. His doing means his thinking. Things will take shape as he thinks. No one but Paramapurusha knows how he does it. So how can people know Paramapurusha if he does not teach to others the science of knowing him? Only Paramapurusha knows the science and the method to realize him, to know him, because he has created both human beings and the path that they must move along. So people can know the method by his grace only. Hence, it has been said in Ananda Sutram, Brahma eva guru reka na para. That is, Brahma alone is the guru. Through his physical structure, he teaches the actual science to the spiritual aspirants. People should clearly understand this. There are many people who are prone to think that in the spiritual realm, there is no need to acquire intellectual knowledge for God realization. And in support of their thesis, they mention the names of some great men. Now, it is true that for God realization, academic qualification may not be necessary at all. There is no differentiation between a learned person and a foolish one. But in order to be a guru, one must be a learned person. God realization is not enough for a guru. He must possess other qualifications as well. So a person who is devoid of learning and scriptural knowledge and the capacity to teach others, and the twin capacities to punish and reward his disciples, should never be accepted as a spiritual guru. A guru does not mean only a spiritual guru. He must be a guru for the intellectual and physical worlds also. After the spiritual sphere comes a psychic sphere, which is cruder than the former. That is, the guru must be aware of the nature of the human mind, what it is made of, how it should be elevated step by step from crude to subtle, how all the unit minds can march together in unison towards the goal. In a word, he must know both the theoretical and the applied sides of psychology. He must know 1,000 times more than it's written in books. He must assimilate everything through his own refined intellect, and then only can he teach others perfectly. That shows that he must be not only a spiritual guru, but also a guru in the psychic world. There is a sense of want in the human mind. One who can remove the sense of want is a guru. In order to qualify as a guru, one must have the power to remove psychic wants. As in the spiritual sphere, so also in the psychic sphere, a guru must be learned. He should be well-versed in the humanities, in fact, in all branches of human knowledge. In order to be a spiritual guru, it will be sufficient that he have mastery over scriptural treatises. But to be a guru in the psychic sphere, he must be well-versed in all branches of human knowledge. Unlimited knowledge of a few scriptures will not do. And simultaneously, he must be conversant with the style in which the human mind functions, as also in the method to control and guide it properly. Next comes the physical world. The followers, the disciples of the guru, are men and women of flesh and blood, having physical structures. They have their sorrows and miseries, their tears and smiles. This is their life. They have their problem of food and clothing. They have their pleasures and pains, their tears of pain and tears of joy. They become elated in happy circumstances and depressed when things go wrong. It is the duty of a guru to provide his followers with the wherewithal for their progress. This is what an ideal guru is to do in the physical sphere. As a guru in the physical world, he will have to teach mankind such techniques as will solve their worldly problems. Problems of food, clothing, education, and medical treatment. A guru must see to it that their mundane problems are solved. So in order to be a guru, one must come onto this earth with the highest qualifications in the spiritual field and with the greatest capacity to face the mountainous obstacles in the physical world. To shoulder the responsibility of a guru is not child's play. Thank you. March 15, 1981, DMS, Ram Rajatala.